And now we turn this morning to the Lord's reading for us in the book of Deuteronomy. In the book of Deuteronomy, we want to turn to chapter 7, read verses 6 through 11. Our text coming from verse 9. Deuteronomy 7, we start reading at verse 6, sort of breaking into a paragraph there. Deuteronomy 7, verse 6. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples of the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your forefathers that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to a thousand generations of those who love him and keep his commands. But those who hate him, he will repay to their face by destruction. He will not be slow to repay to their face those who hate him. Therefore, take care to follow the commands, decrees, and laws I give you today. Our text is from verse 9. Would you read it with me? Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to a thousand generations of those who love him and keep his commands. It seems, doesn't it, that everyone loves a baby. All the cultures on planet Earth, all the families on planet Earth, all the clans, any nation where a little baby is born, people love to see little babies come into the world, isn't it? Because they represent the next generation and the future. So when it happens at the local hospital, a little baby comes into the world, everybody's full of joy. Mom and dad, after the ordeal, are smiling. Dad is smiling from ear to ear, holding that little tot in their arms. And mom is smiling too, though for particular reasons, mom's smile is considerably more tired than dad's. But then within hours, the family clan comes around, grandpas and grandmas come along, and they each take turns with that sport of pass the baby, and they hold that little grandchild in the hand, and the grandpas and the grandmas look down at that little face, and they say, "Hello, little princess, I am your grandma." Or, "Hello, little junior, I am your grandpa." And it's like the family clan is being introduced to the little one, and the little one's being introduced to the family clan, and then a little bit later, the aunties and the uncles all come up, and it's fun to watch aunties get right into it. It's also fun to watch single, young, teenage uncles receive the turn to hold this little one, and a young teenage uncle holds that little creature as if doesn't quite dare even move for fear that everyone loves a baby, right? When a royal child comes into the world, like the royal house of England, Britain, like the royal house of Netherlands, like in the kingdom of Denmark, or in the kingdom of Sweden, what happens? When a child is born in the palace, the whole land celebrates. So when God, the King of creation, sent his Son into earth, Son of God, Son of Mary, and the great, great God took that Son of his from the highest throne of glory and humiliated him down to the level of a sheep manger. Oh, what celebration there was, right? The angels broke open the skies. The shepherds knelt at his manger. Everyone... No, wait a minute. Not everyone loves a baby. When Herod heard that this baby, to be King of Kings, whose coming had been declared in the stars, when Herod heard that the baby was coming, Herod did not like it one bit. Oh, you as Christians think that these little manger scenes that are popping up on people's lawns and in certain areas of the communities, that those manger scenes are cute, and for you and me that represents the coming of our Savior into the world, but there are some people who do not like those manger scenes. The non-Christian, in some cases, doesn't even want to see it on your lawn, much less on a city park downtown, much less in front of a government building or a courthouse where governmental money is paying the employees that work in that building. They want that government to have nothing to do with that manger scene. People might love a baby, but some people don't love this King of Kings or this Lord of Lords. But put all that in the context of this text. For it is the God of the universe that established his covenant with his children. His covenant is his family bond. And the God of the universe came across the galaxies with his own Son, so that through his Son he might redeem many into his family bond and redeem them for his church universal, his church in heaven someday. And against that background, you must read this text. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God. He keeps his covenant of love to 1,000 generations. 1,000 generations? That's what it says, right? No one dare argue. If it's in the Bible, it's in the Bible. To 1,000 generations of those, of those who love him and keep his commands. Two parts then to focus on. God's keeping of the covenant. And then your keeping of the covenant. It's a two-part deal. Just like marriage, a covenant is a two-part deal. Oh, how does this read? Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. This word Lord shows up in your NIV, even in your NIV. See that? It is printed L-O-R-D, and Lord is all printed in capital letters. That means that the translators want you immediately to hark back to that Old Testament term, Jehovah or Lord God, the I am that I am. So the I am that I am, who reigns from eternity to eternity, the everlasting God, who is all present and all wise and all powerful, reigns from eternity to eternity. That God chose to take his Son, put him into this earth in order that he might die a solitary, torturous death for you and me. Why? Because in the process, God was cutting a covenant. Just as like with Abraham, he cut the covenant right between animal halves. And through that bloody ceremony, Abraham had to walk, and the angel had to walk. God cut a covenant through Christ. Back to the text. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. Can you say the Lord is your God? Can you say He's your Lord? Please note then that with this covenant, the heir of the covenant, Holy Communion table represents the meal of the covenant. Baptismal fountain represents the seal of the covenant. In all of this, God does the heavy lifting. So you witness baptism this morning. Who does the heavy lifting? Who establishes the covenant? Who are these two little girls? The Lord does. Not the parents. The parents had no opportunity 9-10 months ago, sending an application to heaven. Would you give us a little child? And would you give to this little child many, many blessings, Lord? The Lord does it. It's not the pastor or the clergyman who sprinkles some water that establishes the covenant. He's simply a channel. It's not the church elders or the bishops that stand around supervising the sacrament that establish the covenant. It's the Lord's doing. Back to the text. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. So He establishes this covenant in Christ. And what does baptism represent? The washing in the blood of Christ. Who can miss the symbolism? That's, by the way, why I like to pick up that little one that can't see up and over. Must comprehend the water. Simply water, no, represents the blood of Christ. And the covenant portrayed in the meal of the covenant represents the blood of Christ. Who can miss it? And the cross that stands at the front of every Christian church represents the sacrifice of Christ. Who can miss it? Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is a faithful God. He is a faithful God. He keeps His covenant, His family bond. Oh, but you see, a family bond is a two-sided agreement. Never mind, in the case of God and you, it's quite lopsided. Like a treaty, 300 miles north of here, there runs a border between two nations. The longest unguarded border in the world. Because in the middle of the 1800s, the Canadian representatives and the American representatives signed a treaty. And ever since, the children of the Canadians and the children of the Americans chose to honor that treaty. 3,000 miles long. No army troops on that border. Only place in the world like that. That long. Oh, but Canadians are humans and Americans are humans. This treaty between God and you, this covenant between God and you, is so lopsided. Let me use another illustration. It is as lopsided as a truck driver having a friendship with his dog. So this truck driver, let's say he drives a red and black and white, beautiful Kenworth. And he's tooling that truck, making his paycheck all around the country from Miami to Seattle, from San Diego to Bar Harbor, Maine. And as he's going all around, he's got, sitting in the passenger seat, his dog. Well, that dog rides along. The dog's in friendship with the master. But it's a lopsided friendship, wouldn't you say? The master makes all the decisions, where the truck goes, how to handle the traffic, which roads to take, all the way around. All the dog has to do is love his master and obey him. So when the master says, buddy, in the truck, the dog has to respond. When the master's trying to back this big rig up to a loading dock, and the master needs better visibility out the passenger side, the master says, buddy, down. And the dog has to respond. It's a friendship, but oh, how lopsided. So it's a covenant between God and you. There's two parts to it. God does all the heavy lifting. He does all the blessing. He gives all the grace. And what do? Love him and obey him. Duh. Oh, but that's the second part of the text. Know therefore the Lord your God is God. He is a faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands. Why? A covenant always includes children. The treaty between the Canadians and Americans always includes the next generation, unless those generations declare war on each other. Let me say it in the clearest terms possible. Baptism, the sign of the covenant, always includes children, unless that next generation chooses to become covenant breakers instead of covenant keepers. But think it through. The beauty. The beauty. So, Abraham, Genesis 17, receives this covenant of God. I will make a covenant with me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you. So, Abraham was 99 years old when he received the seal of the covenant. Son Ishmael was 13 years old when he received the sign of the covenant. All the servants born into the house or purchased into the house, just like baptism, just like adoption, came into the family of Abraham. And therefore, all of the servants also received the sign of the covenant. And then little Isaac, 8 days old, received the sign of the covenant. So, at what age may a Christian be baptized? If you come to the faith at age 99, or like our church just saw, age 84, you can receive the sign of baptism. If you come to the faith of age 13, you may receive the sign of baptism. If you come into the family, like Abraham had also, by way of adoption, you may receive the sign of the covenant. And if you're 8 days old, you may receive the sign of the covenant. It's so beautiful. But remember, there's two parts. God does all the heavy lifting. And what are you supposed to do? Like the dog in the truck cab. Love him. Obey him. To personalize that in a form that you ought to be able to understand, in a form I cherish, let me hark back to you an incident that took place about 3 months ago. I wish they would have gotten it on camera because it would have been so beautiful to cherish. Down in North Georgia, My daughter Rachel came home from work one day. And as she came home from work, she stepped on the deck of her house and looked off to the southwest, across the sheep pasture, and saw something odd. Six of the sheep were all grazing nicely. One was off by herself, not eating. Rachel thought, that's odd. So she stepped down from the deck, walked across the yard toward that white board fence, and as soon as she did so, that sheep that was laying down over there all by herself suddenly put the head up and looked. As Rachel started to climb the board fence and up and over, that sheep was instantly on her feet, starting to walk. But there was also something white alongside of there. Looked from the distance like a white plastic bag. But as soon as that sheep started to walk, this white thing started to move too. It was a newborn lamb, born that morning. And as this sheep, an ewe named Gretel, started walking faster and faster, this little lamb, less than a few hours old, is starting to trot alongside, all the way across the pasture, until finally Gretel meets Rachel, and Rachel drops on her knees, and Gretel the sheep lays her head right in Rachel's lap. And the little lamb, right at her side, right there, white with few brown splotches in the fur, wool. And that little lamb right there. And as Gretel lays her head in Rachel's lap, it's like she's saying, hello, Miss Rachel, here is my baby. And it's as if Gretel is saying to her little baby, hence named Martha, little Martha, this is Rachel, your shepherdess, and she is so good, she will care for you, and you can love her. I used the illustration once again. I used it 2 months ago. Because it so powerfully tells me about parenting. Christian parenting, is that tough? Some people say, oh, what a tough job. Wait a minute. Keep it simple. Do children learn in a certain home what the parents love? Of course. Does that little Martha learn by the Gretel's behavior that there's a good relationship between mama and the mistress? Yes. Do these children know what daddy likes? Absolutely. Do they know what mama likes? Absolutely. If you as parents love your Lord, it's going to seep through your veins. If you love your Lord and you love His Word, it's going to come through you. If you're into His Word, if you're into the church, if you're loving His people, if you're reaching out in Christ, if you love to spend time with the Good Shepherd, your children are going to know that. Oh, of course, that involves teaching them how to pray, and it involves sending them to Sunday school, and catechism, and cadets, and youth group, and all that, and give them the best Christian education you can possibly do, but, it all starts in the love of the heart. Why are deathbeds sometimes so precious? Because when push comes to shove, the Christian's love comes right to the forefront. And if you love the Lord, it looks so beautiful in the face of stark black darkness. Like one candle shining in the night, how beautiful it is. Back to the text. keeping his love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep their his commandments. How many? 1,000. I know that the Mormon Church does an awful lot in terms of paying attention to genealogy. I think we have to admit that the Protestant Church, probably the whole of Christian Church, doesn't pay enough attention to it. How many generations back has there been in your family tree? A Christian? The Lord says here, 2,000 generations. So if each generation is only 20 years long, from the birth of the firstborn to the birth of the firstborn, how many generations between you and Christ? 99 or 100. Oh, but what does the Bible say here? 2,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. So you would say, everyone loves a baby, right? Not so fast. Compare notes in your modern world. In the country of Russia right now, 70% of all pregnancies end in abortion. Not everyone loves the baby. Consider Greece right now. It's got this huge economic problem. What's underneath that? Look at the statistics. In the country of Greece now, statistically, each set of parents only has one child or less. Statistically. That means that for two parents, there's only one child. That means for four grandparents, there's only one grandchild. That means when it comes to paying the taxes and that grandchild is earning a paycheck, there's no way that grandchild can handle the load of the tax burden for four grandparents. Impossible. So Greece looks to Europe, and Europe looks to America, and America, kind of short on cash, looks to China. And who bails out Greece and the European Union? China, for the tune of $1.5 trillion. Witness China. What's happening in China today? Because of government policy, one child per family, because of forced abortion and forced sterilization and selective abortion, for every 100 baby girls born, there's 110 baby boys born. Selective elimination. No, everybody does not love the baby. But bring it full circle. When Jesus was born, what did Herod do? Wanting so desperately to get rid of a rival to the throne, he sent his troops into Bethlehem, never mind if they had to kill 100 or 200 or 300 little baby boys. He wanted it eliminated. And you, the same Jesus that Herod hated, you love. The same Lord that Jesus loved, you love. And therefore, you can say, as a child of the covenant, as an heir of the covenant, as a child in faith, adopted into the family of Christ, right? You can say, Lord, I will love you. Lord, I will love you till death. Lord, I will love you for all eternity. Can you say that? Lord, we thank you for Christ. We thank you for sending him to this world. We thank you for your covenant that extends to 1,000 generations Grant that those of us who are grandparents might do our absolute best to steer and guide and be examples of Christian sanctity. Grant that those who are parents might do their absolute best to lead these little lambs in the fear and the love of the great shepherd. And grant, Lord, that those of us who are but your little lambs, but your little children, we might indeed love you passionately all our days. And grant, Lord, that others around might see your love shining through us. In Christ's name, we humbly pray and plead. Amen.